to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, friends, welcome back to the show tonight, the Political Cesspool Radio Program, broadcasting tonight, as we always do, from our flagship radio station, AM 1380 WLRM in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and also, of course, simulcasting online at libertynewsradio.com and thepoliticalcesspool.org. In addition to our AM-FM affiliates, our flagship, the Internet, opens up our award-winning show to a legion of fans around the world. And it's been a great show tonight so far. I want to thank Keith Alexander the Great for co-hosting with me during tonight's first hour. Winston Smith sitting here in studio with me for the remainder of the show. And Winston, as you know, we have a very interesting second hour with a very great guest. Winston's mic seems to be failing him here at the moment. We're going to see if we can get a better connection over there. And then we had too much pizza in the break. Now the equipment's not working. But I'll go ahead and tell you who the guest is. And it's a guest making his debut appearance on our show tonight. It's Paul Kersey. Paul Kersey is a recent university graduate who was mugged by reality at an early age. He grew up in one of the ultimate whitetopias of America and found it curious that white people flee areas that become 10 to 15% black to create new cities, while those cities they fled fall into disrepair. After the success of Stuff White People Like, Paul Kersey decided it was time to discuss what no one talks about publicly, but everyone talks about privately. Stuff Black People Don't Like. That's the name of the very popular website that Mr. Kersey administers, and it's also the name of his new book that's racing up the Amazon sales charts this very night, Stuff Black People Don't Like. Paul Kersey, welcome to the show.
What I consider the only show that gives a voice to the voiceless. You know, I might not agree with every person who comes on your show, but the mere fact that you allow people to come on and talk about what is not allowed to be discussed in black-run America is phenomenal. So, good evening.
Well, we appreciate that, Paul, and it's great to have you tonight. And, of course, you know, that what you just mentioned is something that you do pretty regularly on your own website. You certainly aren't afraid to tackle some of the taboo subjects, but, you know, amazingly, and people might not know this because I know you got a lot of fans out there, and I know that a lot of my fans are your fans as well, because we've been getting emails and posts on our website after we announced your appearance saying, oh, I read this stuff every day. A lot of black people are fans of your website too. Am I wrong?
No, you're right, and I love that. I think that with that Google, with the ability for people to become fans of a Google Blogspot, you can actually look at their pictures, and I think that's incredible that so many people, not only black but also other individuals, have become fans of the site. And I think that's one of the coolest aspects of Stuff Black People Don't Like, is the fact that we've been able to attract a very diverse audience to engage in a very interesting dialogue and discourse that really doesn't exist anywhere else in America except for, you know, private homes and fraternity houses, and whenever people gather in homogeneous environments with, you know, their white friends or their black friends. We definitely are very generous based when it comes to race in America and discussing it. And, you know, we pulled it. I'll be honest, I'm the only person who does the website. All the writing is mine. There's an amazing editor who does a fantastic job. Minkin, if you're listening, thank you so much for all that you do, but it's too much fun, James.
Well, I got to talk about the website a little bit, and that's impressive that you do 100% of the writing. I know what a heavy load that can be, and your stuff, every so often, I'll post a fairly lengthy piece on the political cesspool sites, but a lot of them are more or less blurbs. You write very detailed, very in-depth pieces that always elicit a great reaction. They're always very well thought out. And I encourage people, first of all, and we're going to be talking about the book primarily tonight, but we're kind of painting a picture here. Go to Amazon.com and buy the book, Stuff Black People Don't Like. We want to see Paul Kersey's numbers jump. during the course of this radio interview tonight. And we're going to talk about the book in this next segment. But before we get there, Paul, let's talk about the website. I know we've been talking about it a little bit in general. Just give us a few examples of some of the issues that you would raise on that website, the likes of which you're not going to find on very many corners of the Internet.
Gosh, that's a great question. You know, originally it started with the numbered posts sort of mirroring the stuff white people like. You know, we talk about, you know, number nine would be tipping. You know, black people really don't tip. I mean, there's been a lot of scientific studies about this. I mean, NPR has discussed this. A lot of writers in some of the big failing newspapers across the country have written hilarious editorials where they try and ascertain why black people don't tip. Winston.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have to interject here. When I saw that article, that stuff black people don't like, I commented on it. You might remember what I said, but I pointed out the what used to be the annual Kojic convention here in Memphis. It's the Church of God and Christ. It's basically a black denomination, and they used to invade Memphis once a year. And the hotels in downtown Memphis, the poor wait staff at these places would complain bitterly that the attendees were the most ill-mannered and the most rude and the most untipping crowd they have ever seen.
Well, they're quite niggly when it comes to tipping, aren't they? The point is, let's be honest, the point is simply this. The site started, James, that's a great question what you're asked. The site started as just doing numbered posts, and it sort of evolved as the popularity increased. The tipping post used to be, when you would go on Google and you would type in black people tipping as a search, it was the number two search result that came back. Google has actually switched the algorithm. So a lot of the hits to my site, it was beginning to the point where if you typed in anything about black people on Google, it would take you to my site on the first page. And they've switched their algorithm, so to change that. I think one of the main things you'll find on my site, can you hear me, James?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. You asked, what we write about that most other people don't, and I can give you two recent examples. One story was the Omar Thornton shooting. I don't remember the state. I want to say it was Connecticut. But when the black guy went on the rampage because he had been fired, and he had told his white girlfriend that he had experienced racism. And instead of the eight or nine dead bodies, the white guys that had been shot, that wasn't the story. The story was, incredibly, whether or not his place of business had been racist toward him and that he had experienced racism. That was the story. And the mere fact that became the main story, instead of the massacre that this black guy went in there and shot everyone, the mere fact that racism, white racism, was actually an honest justification for that massacre. The media picked up on that, and they played that story. And to me, that shows you all you need to know about what America has become, led by disingenuous white liberals, because that's all the media is. And, when I say black run America, I hope people realize I don't mean that black people necessarily run America. It's that America is run for the betterment and for the benefit of black people.
Hold it right there, Paul. We're going to take a break, our first of the hour. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about Paul Kersey's excellent website, Stuff Black People Don't Like, and the book that it has inspired. Get it tonight on Amazon. We'll be right back.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're in the midst of tonight's second hour, and our guest is Paul Kersey, author of the book Stuff Black People Don't Like. And it's available on Amazon tonight for your purchase, and it comes with our wholehearted endorsement. Get the book. Get it tonight. Don't wait. It's actually a compilation of many of Paul Kersey's articles that have been featured on the website, Stuff Black People Don't Like. Is that a pretty accurate assessment, Paul?
Yeah, James, that is a perfect assessment. It's all year one material. In fact, if I may take 2 moments here to say two things. If you're on Amazon, people listening, make sure you type in SBPDL, the acronym. If you type in stuff black people don't like, you won't find it on Amazon. You have to type in SBPDL year one. The whole reason I did that is because it's a takeoff on probably the most important graphic novel and comics ever written, Batman Year One. And so it's only the stuff that I wrote in the first year. And so, which I think is it's interesting material because you see the evolution of the site up until where I wrote a piece that you actually highlighted, James, on your site, the one on Nashville, the Nashville flood, which the media completely ignored for obvious reasons. if you're going to try and get the book tonight, it's make sure you type in SBPDL on
that. Okay, I'm glad you made that point. Now, if people are on our website tonight, you can link directly over to Paul Kersey's Amazon sales page for Stuff Black People Don't Like at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But if you're going straight to Amazon and you're searching for it, and I made this mistake, and I couldn't find it. Type in the initials of each word in Stuff Black People Don't Like, SBPDL. And before I get back to Paul, I'm going to ask our board op, Nicole, can you pipe up the volume just a little bit on Paul? He's coming in a little bit light in my headset. Paul, again, getting back to some of the subject matter of your excellent website, excellent book, you deal with issues that are almost stereotypical in nature, and that's not a bad thing because there's a lot of truth to many stereotypes out there. Stuff black people don't like, tipping, being quiet at movies, sidewalks, dress codes, no loitering signs. I could go on and on and on. But you address these issues in such a way that, as we mentioned in the first segment, you have a lot of black fans. How do you do it?
I honestly believe that people don't want to be told falsities anymore. Disingenuous white liberals treat black people as if they are, you know, as if they already are intellectually inferior. They treat them as if they're, you know, DWLs, as I call them, you know, white liberals. They really are very patronizing to black people. They automatically look at them as if they need affirmative action to get ahead, as if they need all this stuff. And in reality, you know, Let's be honest. Affirmative action has completely doomed the Naval Academy. They've lowered standards to bring them in. I mean, I don't even know what needs to be done. But the point is that DWLs have been so patronizing and disingenuous to black people that I think black people want an honest conversation. You know, CNN keeps putting out these idiotic black in America. You know, black in America, the problem of debt. You know, the problem with debt is don't spend more than you bloody make. It's pretty simple. And if black people have poor credit scores, you know, Peter Brimlow, someone who was in that fantastic article that you were quoting him, James, on are whites racially oppressed? Well, the simple answer is yes. What did Eric Holder just say about his people? And in regards to the Black Panther case, you know, it's so axiomatic at this point that whites are racially oppressed that there's really no need to even answer the question except with an affirmative yes. And I think a lot of black people want an honest discussion because guess what? The people who are primarily being victimized by black crime are all black people. Black on black crime is incredible. The problem is just incredible. And those blacks who act white, who do want to excel, who do try hard, who do try and rise above the increasing black underclass, they are the ones who are victimized. And they are not getting answers from disingenuous white liberals whose policies are only augmenting the black underclass, which is rising. I mean, you're in Memphis. Good Lord. There's probably a Michael Orr on every street corner there.
Yeah, there is. And let me tell you, one thing we don't have a shortage of here are, you know, under-advantaged blacks. But listen, folks, as we mentioned, Stuff Black People Don't Like is the name of the website, book of the same name. Search it on Amazon, SBPDL. Paul Kersey talks about a lot of issues with humor, with flair, but also with truth. I just reeled off a laundry list of trivial topics that he addresses. He also talks about serious issues as well, such as the Nashville flooding and the disaster in Haiti. And there's so many more entries there, and they're all in the book. So if you're a fan of the website, buy the book because it's a comprehensive collection of all of these great articles. And Winston, I know we've been jabbering a lot. You had a little bit of problem with your mic earlier. This is a guest you've very much been looking forward to talk to, so I want to turn it over to you for a minute. And then we got a caller that we're going to get to as well.
Thank you, James. And indeed, I am a big fan of the blog. I started going to it daily in its infancy, Paul, and we were talking during one of the breaks, and you remembered that I was one of the early commenters, so I appreciate that. One thing I would like to ask you about: if people go to Stuff Black People Don't Like, they're gonna see a lot of acronyms and euphemisms, and I'd like you to clarify some of them. For example, Mein Obama, M-E-I-N Obama. What do you mean by that?
Mein Obama, that's one that I haven't used in a while. Mein Obama is the way that blacks look at Obama. He is their leader. I mean, it is a play, of course, on the German usage of the term Mein Führer. If you look at how blacks voted in the 2008 election, 96% of blacks voted for Barack Obama. The other 4% that didn't, obviously, weren't able to comprehend the voting ballot very well. And then you had to look at when you started to see Obama's approval rating drop the past 2 years. It started to drop precipitously, and yet the one group who kept their allegiance to Mein Obama were black people, even though they're the ones who've been hurt the most by this recession. They were able to look past what's happening to them individually and look toward the collective good of what having a black guy in office does. And that's what Mein Obama means. They still, I haven't seen the approval ratings in a while, the Gallup polls, but I believe he's still probably hovering around 92% approval rating for blacks, where everywhere else it's a complete drop-off.
Yeah. Now, that Stuff Black People Don't Like, and I'm sure in the book, you write very humorously. You write a lot of tongue-in-cheek, and you write in a deadpan style much of the time, and it's just good fun, good clean fun, I would say. But there was an incident that occurred that sort of changed the tone and the direction of Stuff Black People Don't Like, and that was the Omar Thornton incident that you mentioned earlier. You referred, when you covered that one, you made the statement that it's no longer a joke when you refer to Stuff Black People Don't Like. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, if you read the passage you mentioned, there were a lot of numbered entries. There was a lot of jovial nature. It was more fun. I will admit that, and I want to get back to that in a way, because I think that it's more enjoyable to write some of that stuff, because I've got a list of over 500 things I still need to get up there, but you know, current events keep happening 2 or 3, 4 times a day that I want to write about, but I just don't have time. I'm too busy with other stuff. You know, but the point is, the Omar Thornton story showed how evil this governing apparatus is, which I call Black Run America, that we will excuse the most abominable black behavior because, as I think Steve Saylor has said it best, black is good. Black is, you know, black can do no wrong. Black people are, their behavior is excused because of these idiotic and noxious ideas such as white privilege or, you know, continued white racism when it's...
Paul, we got to take a break right there, my friend. I hate to interrupt you. Got to take a commercial break. We're going to come back and talk more about the Omar Thornton incident and Paul Kersey's take on it for black people, Stuff Black People Don't Like. Stay tuned.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Continuing on in the second hour of tonight's program, interviewing Paul Kersey, author of Stuff Black People Don't Like. If you want to buy the book tonight on Amazon, I can't encourage you enough to do so. You're going to have to go to Amazon.com and search for SBPDL, Stuff Black People Don't Like. SBP. DL. I had to think for a second there. Search for it, buy it. And yeah, that's a tough one, guys, you know, when you don't have notes in front of you. Support Paul Kersey and his courageous work there. Paul, we're going to get to a caller from Utah for you in just a second, but I wanted you to finish your thoughts on the Omar Thornton incident and your take on that. We were discussing it before the break, and it's a serious issue.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite writers is Lawrence Oster. Larry Oster is one of the most important people on the right. I mean, I've never identified myself as being a person of the right or left. I don't believe in the right-left paradigm. But Lawrence Oster is the most courageous, important writer out there, in my opinion. And he and I have been engaging a lot back and forth. And during the Jared Loughner shooting, everyone tried to attach the whole situation to being some sort of right-winger to the right-wing movement. And then I sent an email about how, reminding him about the Omar Thornton story and about how all of a sudden, in this case, everyone tried to excuse the black guy who killed all these whites because there was white racism. And that's always a reason, that's always a justification for killing whites if they're evil. I mean, if they're bigoted, if they're racist. That in the media is that's a good enough reason to get to, you know, to kill them. So I believe that's one of the most important things I wrote. You know, they really want people who can see. If you've ever seen the movie They Live, I do write extensively about those who can see, those who understand what's going on. And, you know, they want those of us who can see to die. They don't want us to be around. They don't want us to keep pointing out that there's something wrong with this society as it exists. And, you know, that's why CNN just did that great article on Eugene. Because they know it's so close to being bubbled over. It's so close. And tomorrow, if Rush Limbaugh went on his show and said the things that you say, James, all of his audience members would say, "What took you so long?" And all the, if Fox News did the same thing, James, all the audience members who watch Fox News, you know, they're to the right of Fox News. They believe this. They believe a lot of this stuff. They won't go as far as you will, James. But that's why we have to keep, you know, grabbing people by the hand and taking them with us down a very, very unfortunate awakening that is going to come whether or not we do it or not. So
I really appreciate you saying that, Paul. And truly, that comes from my heart. And it's funny that you mentioned the justification that people gave Omar Thornton after his killing spree, saying that they deserved it. Winston Smith and I, since you brought up the CNN article, are going to be talking about the left's reaction to that piece, as we've seen on the internet today, Media Matters, Little Green Footballs, and other sites. I saw one website, a fairly well-trafficked blog, that said, you know, it'd be better off if I just dropped dead of a massive heart attack. I mean, it would be, the world would be a better place, and not only that, my heart attack would be justified because I have thoughts that aren't sanctioned by these people, the same type of people, as you mentioned, on Stuff Black People Don't Like, that defended Omar Thornton. So this is something that we have to put up with, and I appreciate you for giving me the opportunity to make mention of that by infusing the CNN article into your interview here.
Oh, that article shows you where things are going, because the obvious oppression of whites is becoming it's so transparent now. You've seen the studies about Ohio State and Ohio University where blacks get better opportunities to get in at the expense of whites. You've seen the Naval Academy and the Coast Guard Academy basically codify diversity, which anytime you hear diversity, that means whites have to be left out. That's all you have to think of when you hear the word diversity. It means replacing people who are Caucasian with non-Caucasian people. It's race replacement. And you never hear this type of stuff with the NBA. You know, the NBA is 80% black. You never hear anyone say, "Hey, you know what? We need some more white guys in the NBA. No one's watching it anymore." Larry Bird did say that, but he was accused of being a racist for saying that. you know, you never hear the NFL. You never hear someone say, you know, "Cast Football is a site that I like, but I don't like." There's a few things I don't like about Cast Football. I'm actually, in the next month or so, publishing a book on sports, because sports, James, it's, look, the only reason we live in black or in America is because of sports. Without sports, the South would have never have tolerated the destruction of the major cities of Atlanta, of Birmingham, of Memphis, and the proliferation of the black underclass, because that's where the primarily, you know, institutions like Ole Miss and Auburn and Alabama and Georgia, they get their athletes. you know, they would never have tolerated this. And because, you know, because Ole Miss needs black athletes, they've decided to capitulate all of their traditions and history.
That's right. That's an excellent point. Excellent point. And I'll tell you what, since you broached it, I want to continue to talk about how what your take is on sports in your book and on your website. But before we examine that a little bit further, and I'm sure Winston will have some questions along those lines as well, we have a caller who has been patiently waiting, and I thank her for her patience. It's Marie from Utah with a question for Paul Kersey. Marie, you're on the air. Thanks for calling into the Political Cesspool.
Yeah, I don't know if I exactly have a question, but I do know this. The Lord has told us that we need to choose sides, and that if we are lukewarm, he will spew us out of his mouth. In other words, you have to go right or left. You can't sit on the fence. And we know that every generation has to earn its freedom. And we know that freedom is not free. We know that the Constitution is transferable to any place, to anybody. We know that people will need to go back to their own countries because America was not meant to be a stir fry or a melting pot. In fact, a long, long time ago, when my mother used to be in the John Birch Society, which I guess is the Eagle form now, the thing that stuck in my craw was the fact that we would, as white people, live to rue the day that black men would be over us, because it says in the scriptures that because of our choice of having to put them to work, we, and also the Mexicans, Asians, et cetera, they would then become our masters. And that's in the scriptures. And that's what's going to happen because we choose to continually import them. And we need to stop and realize that they can take our place easily. In fact, my friend Larry, who is a black man, his mother worked for Farrakhan and Martin Luther King. And Martin Luther King's place was to get as many people out of the run as they could. They were trying to intermarry as many white people as they could so that they would continually deflate the white people. They wanted to get rid of the white race. That's why they had the Million Man March, just so that they could have Louisiana as another African state. And I thought when Oprah earned all that money, I thought, no, she can help her people. But no, she just chose to buy a palace instead of helping her people. And that's one thing that we will need to do is go back to our places, because the Lord says when the graves will be opened, people will have to go back to their own country. In fact, it won't be a citizen thing. We think we can all become citizens and hunker down here together. The Lord didn't mean us for it to be all in one piece of property. That's why, actually, the Lord has stated everybody has their own calling, and it's in their own place. That's why the languages were corrupted, so that they would have to go back. And that's why English was a chosen language for America, period.
Hey, Marie, I got to tell you, Marie, you need to call back in on another program, because you would be a good featured guest yourself. You have a very good handle on a lot of the taboo dynamics that are in play out there, and I want to thank you for calling, and I certainly hope to hear from you again. Paul, I don't know how much of that which she mentioned you addressed in your book, but...
I'll be honest, I didn't actually hear James. It was quite... it sounded like she was very passionate and excited and determined to get her points across. I didn't hear much of it. I really don't know how to address what she said, because I wasn't able to hear enough of what she said.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul. Rather than recap it, let's just reset here. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll have one final segment this hour, one final segment with Paul Kersey. He has been a great guest so far. I know we've actually already kept him longer than we had originally told him we would, but when a guest is rolling, he's rolling, and we like to keep him on for as long as they can stand us. So we're going to keep Paul Kersey for one more segment. Remember, he is on tonight promoting his brand-new book, Stuff Black People Don't Like. Stuff Black People Don't Like. It's a compilation of the many great articles that are featured on the website of the same name. If you want to buy the book and support his work, go to Amazon.com and search for, oh, here we go again, SBPDL, SBPDL, Stuff Black People Don't Like, Amazon.com. One segment with Paul Kersey, still forthcoming right after this. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. We Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, one final fleeting segment with Paul Kersey, author of Stuff Black People Don't Like. Check it out on Amazon.com. And Winston, when they search for it, what do they need to put in?
Sierra, Bravo, Delta, Sierra, Bravo, Papa, Delta, Lima.
Did anybody get that? I know what it means.
Yeah, I work with that at my job. So Sierra, Bravo, Papa, Delta, Lima.
All right. Say it one more time real slow so they can get all those first letters.
Sierra, Bravo, Bravo. Papa, Delta, Lima. Sierra, Bravo, Bravo, Papa, Delta, Lima.
Yeah, he still hadn't got it, you know, without a hiccup. But listen, I think we get the point. Stuff Black People Don't Like, SBPDL. Paul Kersey is the author. Check it out on Amazon. Paul, talking about sports and what you call Black Run America, it's an issue that you've certainly addressed on your blog and in your book. And you were talking about it before we took that last call.
Yeah, you know, real quick, two things. The book is called SBPDL, Year One, 365 Days in Black Run America. The website is www.sbpdl.com or stuffwhitepeopledon'tlike.blogspot.com. And Black Run America basically is allowed to exist because most colleges don't want to infuriate the black community because they rely on black labor to primarily to play on the college football and college basketball teams, which generate an unbelievable amount of revenue. But they also bring problems that cannot be excused anymore. Sports Illustrated has just run an amazing cover story on crime in college football. And they only took a sampling of the top 25 teams from this past year. And they found that of those players, 1 in 14 have rap sheets. I'm not talking about, hip-hop BS. I'm talking about, criminal records. And 60% of blacks of those have rap sheets, and only 38% of whites do. And they glossed over the racial aspect. But in my opinion, if we were actually able to look at the criminality of, what crimes were committed, I would wager that the majority of the DUIs and the minor offenses were by the white players, and that the majority of the really bad stuff that a lot of these college coaches tolerate because they want these black players to play were done by black people. You look at college football teams, the graduation rates. This past the Auburn-Oregon game, the national championship game, there was a New York Times article about the poorest graduation rates for Auburn's black players. Auburn's white players had 100% graduation rate, and the black players only had a 49% graduation rate. That's not Auburn University's fault. The fault lies on the players who don't use the amount of tutors they get. If you're a college athlete, you have an army of tutors on your behalf. And if you can't pass the courses in sociology, whatever BS degree they put you in, you don't belong in college. And, these schools rely on black labor because everyone believes that blacks are better athletes, which, in my opinion, and as science shows, blacks mature faster than whites do, which is why I think that the BYU method is right. All whites should take 2 years out of college and then wait to go into college after 2 years so their bodies can mature so they can be on the same level as blacks. I guess the main point to make is that there wouldn't be many positive images of black people were it not for sports. I mean, where else would you find them from?
Winston, take it from there. I know we have a few minutes left, and you have several more questions for Paul Kersey.
Well, Paul, what I would like to do is read one of the reviews of the book on Amazon and to get your take on it. And to me, which one I'm going to read. to me, this one is a ringing endorsement. This one says why you should read it. And this is from a rectal orifice who calls himself AC from NYC. And he says this: I do not encourage people to buy this book. Sadly, this is just one more piece of trash to heap onto the mountain of racist trash that bigots have produced throughout our country's history. Instead of standing together as Americans, united by our values and traditions, the author would rather separate us along race lines. I do not feel anger, just pity for the book's creator and this book's supporters. By the way, the title stands for Stuff Black People Don't Like. Paul Kiersey, what do you say to AC from NYC?
I say that they consider the Constitution to be racist now, so if they call the Constitution and pretty much any writings that have come from, you know, Fenimore Cooper or, you know, Thomas Jefferson's Notes on Virginia has some very unpleasant things to say about Black Oda, good Lord. I mean, pretty much any American writer is going to be thrown on that funeral pyre, and, you know, whatever. I mean, I show me a black book that's even worth reading. That's not about, you know, racial angst or some sort of or some sort of need to overcome. I mean, Raisin in the Sun, Black Boy, Invisible Man. You know, it's you know, look, things fall apart. Chinua Achebe is right. Things fall apart when black people take over. Look at Atlanta City Schools. They're about to lose their accreditation because they cheated on a test. Because this is the funniest thing in the world that no one is talking about. Because of the test that all the black students took, they had such dramatic increases in the scores. The accrediting agency took notice of that. There were red flags because the black scores were too great. And they're about to lose their accreditation. They're on probation. Clayton County, which is almost a majority black county, I think it's like 80% black now, which has the highest subprime mortgage default rate in the country, horrible crime rate, low property rates now, used to be all white. They lost their accreditation. First school system to lose their accreditation in 40 years. Used to be an all-white area. And then you have DeKalb County, which is another great black county right outside of Atlanta. They are on the cusp of losing their accreditation because of cheating on the CRT, another exam. These are black-run areas. That's what happens when you have a switch in who's in control. Just look at Detroit. Look at Memphis. I mean, they're talking about, you know, closing schools in Memphis because of white flight and the poor. You know, not everyone can adopt Michael Orr, although I am in favor of the Michael Orr Act. you know, not all black kids are going to be able to play football. You've got some blacks who are going to be like Precious in the movie. You know, let's be honest. You know, one of my favorite statistics. I love hate facts. Hate facts are the most important things in the world. In 30 years, the Atlantic Monthly magazine published this fact. In 30 years, if trends continue unabated, all black women will be considered morbidly obese.
Wow.
Not some, not 80%, 100% of black women will be considered morbidly obese. And, you know, that's just funny to me. I thought that was funny. So,
that's a fact I haven't even heard yet, but I don't doubt it because I've seen the trend is on its way. Yeah, here in Memphis, I can tell you. We have just a few minutes left, though. I don't get to say this again. We're going to say it one more time. Buy the book, Stuff Black People Don't Like, Amazon.com, SBPDL. That's what you got to search for on Amazon. We're going to try to take a very quick call from Steve in Florida. Steve, we got to keep it short, so it's all yours.
Okay. All right.
Take it, Steve.
Okay. Hi, Paul. I love your site. Can't wait to get your book. I just have one question for you. It's, what do you think, from your observation, is happening with the mentality of black people now that the dirty laundry, like the hate facts, they're becoming communicated now? Like, what do you think is happening with them?
Okay, Paul, I don't know if you're able to hear that. Steve asked, he said he's looking forward to getting your book. What do you think about the mentality of black people, their take on these hate facts as they become public knowledge?
Well, they do everything. Steve, first of all, I want to thank you for the praise and really appreciate your reading. You know, I think that blacks try and act as if they don't exist. They try and make excuses for them. If you look at the STD rates, they do everything they can to try and proliferate those rates, don't they? the main thing is instead of trying to decrease those rates, they help the augmentation of those rates. If you look at the fact that, you know, illegitimacy rates continue to increase,
continue to, you know, it used to be, you know, when Daniel Moynihan wrote that in, that about the crisis of the black community back in, I think it was the 70s. Look, I'm 27. So I wasn't alive during a lot of the crazy liberal stuff, the Great Society. We get to live through it all. We get to live through this DWLBS that has been created. We have to endure these horrible policies that are perpetuated. The point is, black illegitimacy at that point was like 30%, and everyone attacked him for even mentioning black illegitimacy rates. And now the out-of-wedlock birth rate is approaching 80%. Look, it's the black mentality is black people, as Steve Saylor and as one of the greatest blogs on the planet, 1stdv.blogspot.com said, black people love being black. It's that simple. Black people love being black, and that won't change.
Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Kersey, author of Stuff Black People Don't Like. He's been our guest for the entire second hour. And, Paul, thanks for taking so much time out of your Saturday night to be with us and our audience. It's been entirely our pleasure.
James, I really appreciate it. I'm going to go drink some Coors Light because Coors was founded by one of the great men of all time. And I hope you guys have a great time. And your listening audience, keep it up. Don't give up, people. We're so close. It's that simple.
Buy the book, Stuff Black People Don't Like, on Amazon.com. SBPDL. You know what it is. We'll be back in just a minute.
Coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rising sun.